Our next reader, Steve Dotson, we're glad to have him tonight. He's one of the founders of SPOFest, and he's not been here for a while, so we're very glad to have Steve. Thank you, Steve. Come on up.
Well, I'm currently residing in Columbia, Missouri. I'm pursuing a master's in Greek classics. This is a modern piece from a novel in progress. This takes place in a place I lived for a little while, Kansas City, Missouri. A big part of the process of writing, especially a longer piece that's based, say, in a specific era in a specific place, is there's a lot of research. And that's been one of the unexpected pleasures of writing this. And I'm not on a timeline, so it's great. This is a bigger piece called Of Chemical Bondage. I'll have to say a long time ago, the three main characters were developed by James Bryant, the founder of SPOFest, and myself, in a reoccurring sketch comedy routine. So these characters were developed early, and then I worked it up into a fiction piece. So this is just one of the characters. His name is David, and he is a radio DJ in the late 90s. In this ascending digital age, radio is in its descent. Radio has a place in the morning commute, a lunchtime interlude in the drive home. Portable music devices now find music on demand, which makes radio seem primitive. KC Crazy David, our hero David, KC Crazy Davey, rather, works his orator's craft behind a large window that frames a slice of Baltimore Avenue in downtown Kansas City. David watches the familiar people without real names. They only have the nicknames he has given them: Rags, Pompous, Ginger Cop, Diet Coke, Curb Check, The Colonel, Disco, Tranny, Skip, Vishnu. David watches Baltimore Avenue when he is not pulling up a song file to play or reading ad copy from a sheet of paper. The continual watching act allows the mind to recognize familiar patterns. David knows when someone's running late or when a woman has a new ensemble, though he would never call it an ensemble. On occasion, when someone would cease to appear at their normal time, David would wonder where they might have gone or to what job they migrated. He remembers seeing the street kids diminish at the end of the summer until all that was left was one kid who walked by his window every morning. David is not quite sure, but he thought that the kid who remained was the one they called Skip. He was the one who was always hopping or jumping off of things among a crowd of friends. Well, now Skip doesn't skip, and he's alone, and he wears a one-piece work overall on his way to the Army surplus warehouse, where he pulls items off shelves and places them with the order receipt on a rack to be shipped. David thinks it odd to see an Army surplus store without a sign. The Midland Army resale storefront existed only on computer screens, aside from the warehouse. One searches the internet for Army Resale Online on Google and finds the storefront there. David imagines the digital world is sucking the color and life out of the real world. Of course, David is biased because of his occupation. The digital gods laugh at the analog gods. The digital age says in the voice of Wormtongue, "No, don't look for life in the material world. Come to the world of illumination, the Elysium screens. Look at our life-enhancing application on your smartphone." David develops this philosophy as he considers the online Army resale warehouse, now a useless window, a decaying front, with the life inside only to be revealed through the computer. David does not fight or pointedly hate these evolving mediums. As a matter of fact, David passively accepts the changes while staying firmly in his analog world. He is much like the Greek Polybius, who witnesses the rise of the Roman state. He sees it coming with feelings of awe and oh shit. For a long time, David has been lonely, tucked away in his analog world. He is not lonely in the sense that he needs more people around, but a need to share his outdated interests, to hold them tighter. David's world is preserved with a particular zeal in this case. The broadcast building has a large storage area that he converted to the Radio Museum in the late 80s. David placed odd electronics in various period